It's a beautiful Sunday. December is here. I'm not sure that people traveled on time because of the cost of flights. And even travel by road is expensive. I saw a poster also that the trains too, they've increased their prices. So in the words of Game of Thrones, winter has come. Praise the Lord. How are you doing? Christmas is a very interesting time, all right? For people in commerce, it's the biggest boom of the year. Believe me, I know. Everywhere. Be it in a bank, whether you are trading, you are selling clothes, everybody wants to buy something new, right? In the US, it starts with Black Friday, then Cyber Monday, then back to back. Everybody's like, you know, spending, everybody's giving. It's like a happy mood. All the wahala of the whole year. Let's lay it to rest. It's Christmas, and everybody is enjoying, all right? Think about it. How many people have Christmas albums? Think about it. All Christians, though, they don't even believe in God. But man, they latch on. It's not because they love Christ. They are there because of the money, because there are sales. There's lots of sales. There's a lot. So there's a lot going on. And interestingly, all these people that latch on to this train of Christmas, like 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, they are latching on to this train of Christmas because they believe what? Cunningly devised fables. Awesome stuff. We don't. But the general world as it is, they've been sold something that makes them seem to agree with Christmas. So the first question I'd like to ask, have we been sold the same dummy? What do we believe about Christmas? We've been talking about Christ, the Advent. We're in Advent season. And last week, our brother took us through Christ the King, right? So now we're talking about Christ, the perfect man. And in the text that we have looked at today, we've seen how the circumstances that happened for Jesus' birth. Lots of Christmas carols. But what really happened? And why are we talking about Christ being the perfect man? We're not talking about the perfect baby here. We're not talking about the perfect manger or, you know, the perfect circumstances. What exactly does it mean that Christ being the perfect man? One of the bitter truths that nobody would want to agree with, any of us, anyone in the world who is not saved by grace, is that God indeed came with the flesh, in the flesh. That's the first truth that we must speak of and that we must know and that we must come to understand and accept for Christmas. Okay. I make the rules. So I have to stick by the rules. I'm not supposed to go out through here or here. It's not because I don't want to, but we have limitations. In visual limitations. So let's start again. All right. One of the first things that you must know about Christmas is one, the first truth, underlying foundation, is that Christ came in the flesh. Now, it is easy for us to say, oh, God came in the flesh. But I'd like us to be more specific that Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity, in the triune God, came in the flesh. Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, further down in that chapter, it says, what? And the Word what? Became what? Flesh. And what? Dwelt within us. So one of the first things that we must, as Christians, as true believers of God, come to terms with is the essential doctrine of what? The incarnation. And that Christ is not a superhero. Christ is not like Superman that falls down from
planet Krypton and comes to the Earth, and that, you know, is a good guy, is good against evil. A lot of kids remain think about that. Christ is not Santa Claus. Christ is not one guy that lives in the North Pole. Is it the North Pole or the South Pole? Where does that guy live, sir? Lives in the North Pole, I think. Yeah. In fact, strangely enough, the North Pole has, like, science-wise, has been, how do you call that thing? It's been, they finished discovering the old thing. It's the South Pole that everybody is afraid to go to. But really, Jesus Christ is not Santa Claus. He's not some guy that drives on goats, man, no. We call it reindeer, but actually, it's good. Well, they don't have reindeer in Nigeria, but equivalent is, it's not a guy that drives on Malu or rams and comes in the middle of the night with a sack of Gara must go with gates. No. No. It's not Santa Claus. Jesus Christ came, the second person in the triune God, the whole of divinity in the second person came as man. He came in the flesh. He didn't come as a phantom. He didn't come as something that was removed from human being. He had veins. Blood flowed through him. He sweated. He had body odor. There was no perfumes then wearing for the normal human beings. It was for the rich and mighty now. So maybe then there was, not the African way of stopping body odor, no. At least the Nigerian African way. If you take lime, how many of us knew about it? You now put it in our armpits, or more, nothing. So we had all of these things. So Jesus was not a phantom. He was not somebody that was a born a normal human being, and on the event of his baptism, where the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove, that was not when he became the Savior of the world. And it wasn't one that when he died and he said, my Father, why have thou what? Forsaken me. That was not when he came back to become a human being. He is not a superhero story. You see that in Hollywood, where the powers came upon you. Then when the kryptonite comes on the cross, no more Superman. No, that's not God. That's not the God that we serve. Jesus came, the second person in the Trinity, came himself in the flesh. He came as a man, like me and like you. He went to toilets. He urinated. He did not come as a spirit. He was limited in the things that he knew. He was a carpenter. And I reckon for every carpenter, a hammer would hit you when you are mistakenly trying to what? Hit a nail. And of course, you would have to what? Shout and scream. And you'd have to do everything that would happen to a typical human being. That is the first thing that we must come to terms with. That is what the world doesn't come to terms with. The essential doctrine of what? The incarnation. Now, to talk about that doctrine of incarnation, my brothers and my sisters, is a series. So we have glossed over it. There are many things we have not said. But first, we must understand and we must agree that Christ came, the second person in the Trinity, came as a man. He came as a human being. He didn't come as a theophany. A theophany essentially means when a spirit or a divine being takes on a human form. We see that a lot in the Old Testament, where we see Christ come, the Spirit of the Covenant come and appear to prophets. See him in Genesis, appear to what? Jacob. And what? Dislocate his heel. We see him a lot of places in the Old Testament. where we see theophanies, where we see people seeing God as man. But in those cases, a theophany essentially means when a divine person appears like a human being, in the form of a human being, for a short period of time. How many of us, when we were growing up, ever watched the movie I Am Atanga? Remember it now? Was in confirmed horror story, oh. Forget it. There was no other horror story that is as good as that. You understand? Exactly. Just so that I can bring it home. So it's not something that is far removed. Sometimes we've heard people say, oh, they've seen spirits in human form. Even in this African culture, it's not far removed from us. But Jesus Christ, the one who was born in the manger, was not a theophany. He was not a transient being. He was not a spirit that came in a transient cloak of humanity that came to visit. He was a real human being. That is the first thing that we must take to heart. Now, if we are all in agreement with that doctrine of what? The incarnation. The next logical step that we would need to go to is the doctrine of the virgin birth. So, essentially, that doctrine of the virgin birth, in a real sense, or in my own mind, explains that doctrine of the incarnation. So how did it come about? How could God, the infinite one, the one who sustains the whole universe by the word of his power, the one who created all things, and sustains all things, how could he become man? What was the point? Was it a divine experiment? Did the divine just say, I'd like to be like these guys, you know? Let me know, feel their pulse. If you have a growing child, you probably heard that expression, that they are not feeling you. Or mommy, you are not feeling me. You need to, you know, come down to my level. You need to what? Feel my what? Pulse. We probably said it to our parents, or some of us in our mind. Because some of our parents were, is it autocratic? Is that the word? Their word was law. It wasn't just law postponed. It was law immediate. As they said it, you had to do it. But essentially, we have had that frustration. Was the virgin birth, was Christ coming to the world a divine experiment? People would say so. So first, the first thing that the unbeliever and the world would say no to, they would never say that God, the creator of all things, of whom the whole earth has to do, came as a man. You will not see. They will never approve of that. They will never accept it. Secondly, the virgin birth. We have read about it in the scripture. But what did it mean? How did it come about? We see it in the scriptures, and it looks like an interesting thing. You know, I've read and I've watched a couple of YouTube videos, and people have been trying to discount it. Discountenance, this virgin birth, it's not possible. And that is it. God indeed works within the impossible. So, what was this virgin birth? God came and became a man. How? He came via the instrumentation of what? A virgin. A woman that had not been with a man. We read it when we read in Luke chapter 1. And the day angel said, you would conceive. And Mary's first reaction, how is it that I will conceive if I have not what? Known a man. I have not slept with a man. It is not possible. How would it happen? And what does the angel respond? He says what? The Holy Spirit will what? come over you. The power of the Most High will what? Overshadow you. Those statements are not statements to be trifled with. The scriptures tell us that the power of the Most High is like the whole of the, I don't know how to explain it. Please permit me. Like the whole of the power of the divinity would come over you, as in the power of the Godhead would overshadow you. Maybe that's the best way I can put it. And God would do something in Mary. How he does it, the Bible doesn't tell us. Neither should it leave it to our imagination. So please don't think far. All we do know, and what the Bible tells us, is that the power of the Most High overshadowed Mary, and Mary conceived. And what did Mary conceive? You may wonder. If we open our Bibles back to Genesis chapter 3, when God was saying to the man, after they had fallen, the woman, he said, he made a prophecy. He said what? The seed of the woman shall what? Bruise your head concerning the serpent. But you will what? Bruise his heel. Remember we discussed it last week Sunday. Essentially, that metaphor of bruising the head is actually a metaphor, a symbolism for what? Crushing and death. You don't kill a snake by cutting off its tail. Who has done that before? You killed a snake, you now cut off its tail. It's coming back for you. Do you understand? In reality, it's when you say you would crush his head. It means you will actually what? Destroy it. Yes. When you are crushing the head, the snake will just, you know, maybe. But it will bruise his heel, essentially. So what was born of Mary? What was conceived in Mary was God. The second person in the Trinity came into Mary. And of the seed of Mary was born a man. What does that mean? That means Jesus took his humanity from Mary. Not from Adam. Remember in Acts, it says, by one man's sin, many were made what? Disobedience. In Adam, all will what? Die. As in Adam, all what? Die. So that consequence of sin, that punishment of sin was within Adam and his posterity. And so the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And Mary conceived. Did Mary conceive a mutant? It was not Disney. It was not Marvel Comics. So it wasn't a mutant. No. Mary conceived a child, a baby, sinless. The scripture says in Luke chapter 2, it says, the holy thing that will be born of you. That was the Bible hitting it on the head, that this child that is conceived of you would be what? Without sin. And yet, he would be perfectly human. He would grow and metabolize for 9 months. From a cell in Mary's body, the divine came and became fully human with us. I don't want us to see these things as abstractions because it is the reality, it is the truth. It is what the Bible and the scriptures have set out for us. The divine became what? Human. And he was conceived like a normal child, a human being, 100% normal, no difference, no differentials. Birth pains, Mary had it. Contractions, Mary had it. Everything that comes with the birthing of a child was in and given and endured as Mary, by Mary. How much time do I have left? Okay. And so, the child is born. I'm making a few broad statements during the course of this, my teaching. It's difficult for me to be able to narrow it down and all that, but I will come to the Bible passages and we will look at these things together. And the child is born. The child is born a man. The child is born a human being. But the child is not born carnal. There is no carnality in the babe that was born. There is no infusion of sin, of original sin in any form, in the baby that was born in the manger, in our Lord. 2 years ago, I had the, 2 years, almost 3 years now, I had the opportunity, I had the privilege of seeing my was in the delivery room. And the doctor, the first thing the doctor said, when he carried the baby like this, I came out, welcome to Nigeria. I was so upset. Why don't you say, thank God, why would you say welcome to Nigeria? He paid me. But yes, I knew that pain. It was interesting because that pain that entered me was like, this world has finished. I first started from Nigeria. Nigeria has finished. This world has finished. And I looked at my baby. I said, this baby has been born into this world. God, why? I was filled with joy, but those were the thoughts that flashed through my mind. And I was so upset with the doctor, but I didn't have the time. But that was the first thing the doctor said. But the young lady, welcome to Nigeria. I was like, what on earth is wrong with you? But I knew that when my son was born, he came as one who was already infused with sin. By what? Adam's sin. Because he came from Adam. Carnality was already there. Propensity to sin was there, even as a baby. Not knowing his right from his left. But yet, the propensity for sin is there. So that when he behaves somehow, and I just look at this, sin is at work in your members. Don't worry, I know. The Lord will save you from it. Praise the Lord. But the baby that was in that manger, there was no infusion of sin. And these are great biblical doctrines that we are putting, and it seems to be just saying, but it's great. Because one, he was not born of Adam. We read in Matthew also, Joseph had no part to play in his conception. And the record is written there so that the world may know. That our Lord Jesus Christ had nothing to do with the seed of Adam. Yet he was human. 100%. Because the Bible teaches that he got his humanity from his mother Mary. How the Lord did it, we did not know. And yet, he was not different from any one of us. He was 100% like us. No difference. It's not like his hair was differently white or something else. No. he was the same as us. And he bore the same problems. And so interestingly that he called him the Son of Man throughout the whole of the New Testament. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. He identified with us. He was no different from us. We see that in human nature, 100%, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. We can open up, we can look at it. We're talking about Christ, the perfect man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. If anyone sees it, he can read. Since the children of the sins, okay, here I am, and the children God has given me. Since the children of the flesh, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus Christ shared in our humanity 100%. There was nothing that was within. He wasn't any different from us. Not only did he share our humanity, he looked like a man. You know, sometimes, when we grow up, the images that affect us, you know that baby in the manger, there is one glow around him. So when you are growing up, you think that this is our Lord Jesus, there is one glow that was always going around his face. Like when Moses came down from the mountain, after seeing the glow, everybody was hiding their eye. Mm-mm. That transfiguration happened once. Only once. He was what? A human being. He looked like a man. In fact, let me even make it more. Let it pain you more. He looked like a Jew. You know, when I look like Brother Emias, I know he can come from just a few places in this world. Just by looking at him. And myself and my daughter, we've been having some discussions about that. We look at some people in Sydney. Did that person from Emias country? I said, yes. Just by looking, you can have a fair idea. You understand? Because science has taught us that there are looks. All right? That's why when you travel abroad, you can look at somebody. This guy is a Niger boy. Just by the looks. You don't even have to hear. There is a way we that come from the western part of Africa look. There is a way. Even though we are all black, all sons of Kush, there is a way, when you come from Southern Africa, there is a way you look. I won't lie to you. If you look at it properly, it's scientifically proven. If you are from DR Congo, there is a way you will look. Do you understand? If you are Fulani, there is a way you look. Yes. There is no, this thing here is actually a way you can look. You can almost detect. That's why sometimes people say, don't look like a Calabar. Jomo Ibu. There is a way we look. And so Jesus Christ looked like a Jew. Remember when he was, he came to meet the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman at the well. She didn't know him. She had not met him before. He had not even expressed, he had not introduced himself in a sense that my name is Jesus. You know, when you want to talk to a woman now in this day and age, hello, my name is Ubong. How do you do? Not like that. None of that introductory exchange that actually happened. But she said something. How come you, being a Jew, would what? Have what? Talk to me what? A Samaritan. So he looked like a Jew. He was a human being. He looked 100% human. When Thomas met him after he resurrected, that's something else I would have wanted to say, but I think I skipped that. All right? When Thomas met him after he resurrected, he says, look at my hands. Look at my side. Put your hand there. A spirit, a phantom, have what? Flesh and what? And bones. Jesus, like every one of us, as a human being, was growing. There was what? Progressive. Let me use this expression, and I'm using it properly well here. If there was progressive revelation in his knowledge as he grew up, he had limitations as a child. A child would know the things of a child. It was progressive. And as he grew up and he grew older, he knew much more as a human being. Wouldn't you be concerned if your child started saying some things and you're like, or knowing some things, I'm like is this flesh and blood that revealed this to you or something? No. He was limited as a human being. All right? Praise the Lord. All of these things, we can see that in Luke chapter 24, verse 39. You can see that in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 to 56. Even in glory as glorified, Stephen saw the Son of Man. All right? Even what he has told us, what he has promised us, that he will change us, our own earthly bodies, to be as his what? Heavenly body in Philippians. A man. He was subject to certain limitations. We see Mark chapter 11. Remember when he was coming? He was hungry. He was hungry often. When he was coming, he was hungry. He saw a tree. He said, see what? Fruit and what? Pluck and what? Eat. And when he got to the fig tree, what did he say? He saw no fruit. And what did he say? He what? Cursed the fig tree. Even when he was on earth, he did not know the day or the hour. So he was limited in the same way men are limited in their knowledge and in their understanding. Jesus was in agony. He was a man that felt pain. He understood what pain meant. Physical pain, emotional pain. He understood what it means to dread that something would come over him. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, and prior to that, he was what? Troubled in his heart. One of the Gospels even says that what? He shed what? Sweat as if he shed blood and sweat. Use of English, God will help me. He slept. I'm trying to prove things specifically about Jesus' humanity. Typically, we hear about Jesus' divinity a lot. In fact, the last time I stood on this pulpit, I preached about Jesus' divinity. The last two or three times I preached, I stood here. So we're talking about his humanity. He was a human being, just like us. He was in agony. Actually died. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't all these things that medical would say he was brain dead, but he was this dead. He was dead. 100% dead. He died on the cross. He was tempted. He was tempted of the devil. We saw that temptation, massive temptation. How many of us have been tempted by the devil himself? When the devil himself comes to tempt you, it's not the one that after they catch you doing something bad, you say it was the devil. It's not that type. When the devil himself comes and says, "How are you? It's me and you today." He was in all points tempted, just as we are, yet what? Without sin. But he was tempted. He endured the highest form of temptation. See, as when the devil himself comes and tempts you, which other, you say, demon, are you going? No, you can't. It's not possible. And I dare say, none of us have been tempted by the devil himself. And because he was a human being, that was why he was able to be tempted. Because God tempts no man, neither can God be what? Tempted. Yes, he was God. But because of his human nature, that was what allowed and enabled the devil to be able to come and to even what? Attempt to tempt him. Not once. Not twice. But what? Three times. He was in need of prayer. He told his disciples, tarry with me for what? 1 hour. He went and he prayed and sought God. So he came back. Guys, are you sleeping? Wake up. Can you know what? For just 1 hour. This is a lot about a lot of us, but let's see. That's not why we are here. But he was in need of prayer. Before he chose his disciples, he prayed the whole night. The scripture says, as often that his tradition was, a great while before day, he would go out to a solitary place and do what? Pray. He was in need of prayer. He could not do without it as a human being. He was given power by the Holy Spirit on the day of his baptism. He was given power as a spirit without measure, poured upon him. And the Father speaking that this indeed is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. All of these things I've brought to the table is because I want to be able to bring to you indeed that Jesus Christ was indeed a man. And he was a man for a reason. He was not a phantom. He was not a spirit. If he was not a man, we would not be redeemed. The price of our redemption would have never been paid. If he was not a man, his sacrifice would not have been accepted. His substitutionary sacrifice for the soul that sinned shall what? Die. Jesus was what? Spirit, soul, body, man, and he died. And because he is the spotless lamb, he was not infused with carnality at his birth. He walked the whole of the earth in his life. He was able to die and pay the price of our sins. So that unlike Adam, who in perfection before the fall had the ability to sin, and we all know he did sin, our Lord, by the decree of God, came without the carnality of Adam, was unable to sin. He was the perfect man, perfection at his finest. I want us to understand that many times when we talk about Christ being the perfect man, sometimes in our minds, unknown to us, it makes us feel as if our God is different. Christ is a different breed, or that he couldn't have been totally human. But sin and calamity is not a part of humanity in its intrinsic sense. It comes as an infusion into humanity. If Adam was a human being before sin, before the fall, was he not hungry? If he was not hungry, God did not tell him to eat. Alright? If it was not something that he would walk and somehow get tired, the Lord would not have instituted the seventh day of what? A rest. Adam, prior to the fall, 100% human. The full perfection of humanity in him. Yet he sinned. And because of that, the whole of his posterity, we needed a savior. And the Almighty, by sovereign decree, decreed it that the seed of the woman will come and he will save us. And he worked it out by reason of a virgin birth. And he himself, the second person in the Trinity, came down himself, not outside of any other person, himself. He came into humanity, became a man. He didn't wear it as a garment. He became it. He walked on the earth. He suffered just like us. The totality of his humanity seen and known and celebrated by us. He died on the cross. A real physical death. But because there was no sin found in him, death could not hold him. Because there was no sin found in him, death could not hold him captive. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he arose for our justification. And he has promised us that we will be like him. We will see him as he is. He is called the God-man. Even today, he is called the God-man. The Bible tells us that there is no other name given under heaven, given unto amongst men, by which what? We might be saved. No, that's not the under to quote. The under is saved by the man Jesus. What's that verse again? What's that? I'll get the verse very shortly before we close. But our salvation is by the man Jesus. So, as we celebrate, and as we enjoy, as we sing, and as we make merry. We're not making merry to an obscure baby in a manger. We're not making merry because sometime in Judah, in Bethlehem of Judah, a baby was born. Not just a baby. God came down and became what? Flesh. He came down. He died for our sins. He lived this life sinless. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. The totality of our doctrine of redemption and salvation and glorification and sanctification rests on what he has done. That is his work. When we talk about the work of Christ, it was done in his humanity. That is his work. If we do not believe that Christ came in the flesh, then our salvation is useless. Then we are not saved from our sins. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. As in 1 John. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is the perfect man. None of us will ever be that perfect man. He is the perfect man. Amen. Question and answers.